This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3176 for Monday, the 5th of October 2020. Today's show is entitled HPR Community News for September 2020 and is part of the series HPR Community News. It is the 170th show of HPR volunteers and is about 70 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is HPR volunteers talk about shows released and comments posted in September 2020.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ken Fallon. You're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio Community News, this time for September 2020. Joining me this evening is Mr. Dave Morris.
Silence truncation. You'll have fun with that. Hello. Hi, everybody.
And this is HPR, the tech podcast, the longest running tech podcast in the world, maybe, except for the Linux and Tech Show, perhaps. I guess.
I have no idea.
If they just stopped broadcasting for a while, then we could take over.
Yes.
As number one. Anyway, this show is a look back at the shows that have been posted and the news around the HPR community for September 2020. But before we do that, a little reminder that we are a community podcast in which the shows are submitted to us from people very much like you. And we were just discussing, Dave, the state of the queue. Do you want to give the required why haven't you sent in the show speech?
Well, there are somewhere in the region of 260 slots per year. So, and we've got 300 plus hosts on the book. So we really could do with people, anybody who has ever sent in a show, sending one in per year. And anybody who's listening, well, it's time to make your contribution because it's not that hard, you know. I hear people say this, oh, I like HPR. And you say, well, you're going to put in a show? Oh, yeah. I'll just need to think of what to do. But it shouldn't be that hard because you just listen to what's on the network at the moment, because there's a lot of interesting things, and I'm sure there's stuff that you know that you could share with the community. So come on.
First thing that you should share is the fact that you exist and who you are and where you're listening from and a little bit of background, and then we will do the requisites by asking for more information on those shows, and then you're part of the team.
Indeed.
Just looking at the main page, and we have just turned 15 years, Dave. 15 years old. Ooh, this month.
I hadn't realized.
So there you go. Just another anniversary. Just another day.
Great. Good stuff. Yeah. Long may it last.
Very good.
Long may it continue.
So anyway, in this show, what we do, Dave and myself are basically the people who post the shows. But other than that, we're contributors just like everybody else. The decisions around HPR are made on the mailing list, and we bring them to your attention here so that you can provide feedback, if any, to the mailing list. Silence, for the most part, is considered to be agreement. So shall we go through last month's shows, beginning with My Pocket Knives, Dave, which was a show contributed by yourself.
It was indeed. Excuse me, my cat is yowling in the background, asking him to go out. She doesn't realize it's bucketing down with rain outside, so I'll just ignore it. Yes, I did. And there's no knives in connection with the cat. But yes, I did a show on pocket knives, and there was one comment,
and that will be read by me. And the comment was by Retro. Link to the other knife podcast. Hi, Dave. Thank you for this podcast. A nice knife is like a nice fountain pen. Way too little chances to use it while it is such a nice product. Thanks for your hint. I listened to the podcast about OPINEL and it reminded me about mine. Somewhere in a box, I was disappointed that it wasn't stainless steel. I dug it out and learned that carbon steel is harder and you can get a patina. Mm-hmm. Thank you. To other metals. Now I like this rusty knife because I understand. Smiley face. Cheers, Retro.
That's rather nice. Yeah. I made reference to Shane Shannon's show from some time ago where he was talking about the fact that he had an Opinel, I think it's pronounced, knife, French knife, but it's very popular to carry in the pocket for cutting up baguettes and cheese and all that sort of stuff.
Personally, I don't see the point of a knife myself. I just have gone all on, says he, with a potato knife stuck on a magnet right here next to him. Okay, I take that back. I was just going to go into, oh, my life, I know, I never use a knife. And then right here, right next to me, literally here, holding in my hand is a potato knife. Fierce handy.
Well, handy. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I use my Swiss Army knife a fair bit because it's got really, really sharp, thin blades, and it's great for cutting bits of wood and that sort of stuff. And it's got a saw in it and a pair of scissors. Like that one. The French Durol knife doesn't get a huge lot of use. It is actually quite useful if you're out and about and you want to eat something that is good to cut up, you know, like an apple or something, if you like cutting apples. And the one I just bought, Roxxon, it's been opening Amazon packages most of the time.
Ah, right, yeah.
Really is.
You do know they have a tab that you can pull?
Not always, no. Very often it's a box with lots and lots and lots of tape on it, and then lots and lots of bits of brown paper scrunched up inside and stuff like that. So, it's useful for cutting through the tape.
Okay, the following day we had a show from myself, Fixing eBooks with Calibre and PDF Crop. Horrible. PDFs are genuinely horrible. But PDF Crop was nice that you can crop the margins from a PDF to put them onto, if you're forced to read them on an e-reader, that's what you can do.
PDF is not a nice format, is it? It would be lovely if you could sort of convert it into a more usable format easily and work with that, like ebook or one of those. EPUB is what I'm talking about, isn't it?
Yeah.
EPUB is nicer because it tends to format itself better.
Yeah, this is a book that contained heavy amount of graphics, so the solution was, in the end, to buy the two books physically on paper.
Good.
Okay. Following
interesting
day,
though. Interesting show, I should say. Yes.
It's one of these that I doubt is going to be a whole lot of interest or use to anybody, but hopefully somebody will come across it someday and go, "Hey, thanks. That's it."
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, it's one that I hope nobody will ever use, but if they do, at least they won't be in as much pain as I was doing it. Following day, we have Paul Quirk, who convinced me to install Nextcloud, which kicked off a whole series of things which involved SSDs and all the rest of it. But anyway, fine. Good show.
I knew that Nextcloud existed. I knew it had some things I wanted. I knew at one point I wanted to install it, but I didn't know it had so many features. Paul gave a really good summary of all the goodies that it contains, and I really got to get myself organized to install it. I've got such a queue of things I need to be installing, but that's certainly one on that list.
Do you want to do Windigo's comment?
So, yeah, Windigo says, Nextcloud and self-hosting. Thanks for the overview of Nextcloud. I run my own instance, and half of the apps you mentioned were news to me. It's become an essential part of my network, and I'm still finding more uses for it. Very cool.
That is excellent. One thing on that, if people are into OwnCloud, etc., is there a backup solution for Android phones somewhere? That's a general call out. I've been beating my head against the wall for the last, I think, 4 years trying to come up with the definitive backup solution for Android phones. Specifically, not really that interested in the applications, because I get everything from F-Droid, but more for the data. So I had hoped that there was something, you know, the magic that would that you can plug in to your Android phone to connect to Nextcloud. So anybody has any information on that, please record a show and send it in. Thank you.
That would be most interesting.
So the following day, we had LastPass Security Dashboard, which was a show by a hookah in his Privacy and Security series. Not his, but in the Privacy and Security series. So I must say, I don't use LastPass because I have I use KeePass XC with browser integration, and that works out swimmingly for me. But I can imagine that this might be something that you would be into if you... He gave a very good rundown of it, and it might be a solution for many people, I think.
I'm sure LastPass is fine. I don't think I have the need for it personally. I also use KeePass XC at your... I'd used KeePass. I didn't realize that it turned into KeePass XC, which is a lot nicer. But I don't see the need for LastPass, but that's because I pretty much stay in one place a lot of the time. Don't move around much. I think LastPass would allow me to move about more easily and have access to my passwords. But I'd have to pay money, which I don't want to do particularly.
Oh, yes. Insert your own Scottish joke here.
Well, you know. Why pay money when you don't have to, eh?
Exactly. I'm a firm believer in that. The HPR community news from August. We obviously didn't say anything controversial because there were no comments.
Indeed.
And
indeed.
How and why one should compost by Klaatu. And I really enjoyed this one because we have been composting. And essentially there's a green bin that you get. There's packaging bin that you get for plastics and that sort of thing. There's a black bin for all other waste products, a paper bin, and the green bin then for organic stuff. But since we use the compost heap, we don't use the green bin at all, pretty much ever. Everything goes on it. And there was a big dip in the garden this year because we moved some plants, and then I just emptied the compost heap onto it, and it was awesome, really. All the life that's around.
Composting is good if you're into gardening big time, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I was brought up with my father, where we lived, had a big garden and grew lots of stuff in it because, you know, post-war everybody was growing their own, and compost was a big part of that. I've actually had a worm bin. I've got a compost bin, and also I had a worm bin for a few years. You have to order the worms and put them in it, and that blooming cat is so noisy today.
Yeah.
she's scratching at something. She sleeps about 90% of the day, but just now she's decided, you know, this is the time to get up and do tap dancing and stuff. The worm bin is an interesting thing because you get a sort of liquid compost out of the bottom of it.
And you can tune into Dave's episode on worm bins coming up soon to a podcast.
And there's a little girl down the road who is very, very keen on anything to do with animals. And she used to, was a friend of sister of my daughter's friend. And she used to come around every so often and say, "Could I have a look in your worm bin? Because you could see all the worms in there." and she thought that was really cool. So there you go. There's so many things you can do with compost.
And that's a perfect example of a little show out of the ordinary. Excellent. Thank you, Clatu.
Yes, indeed. Yes, thank you, Clatu. It was excellent stuff.
Cedric de Vroy sent in a fingerprint access control lol about how to physically penetrate a building. There are two comments. First one, which I'll read. Actually, I should have picked the second one. Okay, Pisa, we need the need for meta procedures. Hi, Cedric. This is a fascinating episode. It seems amazing that a company which is sufficiently concerned about security to hire a pen testing team did not have a procedure in place to ensure access control system server was protected with something better than admin/admin. My guess is that they did have such procedures, but they were insufficiently monitored. You can have the tightest standards and procedures in the world, but there is no checking for the compliance. But if there is no checking for compliance, they are worthless.
Yeah, good point. Good point. It's an excellent show. I did enjoy listening to this. It's the real stuff, eh? Ahuka says, fantastic show. Love this show, and I hope he does more war stories for us.
Indeed. The following day, as part of All Songs Considered, Paul Quirk took advantage of the power of the Creative Commons license to treat us to Vivaldi's Four Seasons, one of my favourite pieces, I must say. And I thoroughly enjoyed this.
Quite a treat, actually. Yeah, I wasn't expecting anything like that. I find that I do things to HBR shows that tend to be against music like this, speeding it up, for example.
Truncating silence.
Yes, that's right. I was doing both. And I had to go back and get the original to listen to it properly. But
Same here.
It's really nice, though. Yeah,
advantage that I was posting it, so I knew what was coming. So I already had copied them off.
Yes, I sort of knew, but the pressure of other things, I forgot. There you go. So, but it was really good. Yeah, it was. I think Vivaldi's Four Seasons was the first CD I ever bought. You know, having been vinyl, then cassettes, then being able to afford a CD player, and then, you know, and listen to it on CD was wonderful, because it seemed to be a lot more clear. I'm not sure if that was actually true, but in my mind it was. But great piece of music.
My brother did, after he finished college, he spent 2 years in Japan, and he brought home a digital alarm clock for my parents at the time, and the wake up sound was Vivaldi's Four Seasons, thing.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, exactly. And it was that alarm clock that introduced me to classical music. And also the fact that on cassette tapes, which I bought, it was a lot cheaper to get classical music than it was to buy any other type of music. So I would have to save up for a few weeks to buy a cassette tape of anything popular, but you could, you know, go to the bargain bin and take out something for 50p in the classical range.
I did the same thing. In the days when I discovered this, I'd been given for Christmas a record player, the sort that you carried around with a handle. You didn't wind it up, but it was electric. It was.
I'm not that old.
I had one of those as well.
I'm not President Trump.
But it was. The same sort of thing. I couldn't afford a lot of the music, and I found in shops that it was possible to buy LPs of stuff, and I bought them and was listening to them and learned stuff like Dvorak's New World and Beethoven's Fifth and all sorts of things. Yeah. Listen to him over and over and over and over and over again. I don't really like this very much. Oh, I'm actually liking this now. No, I love this. You know, you listen to it 97 exactly. times and you start to enjoy it more. So.
And then you start hearing it in modern music, like they've just completely ripped off. This whole song is nothing mm-hmm, more than mm-hmm. a ripoff of this.
Yes, yes. And in adverts and films and everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The following day, the GIMP Transform Tools by Ohuka in his GIMP series. And this one was take an image, stretch it, rotate it, crop it, and so forth. So this is again a excellent series. And you know what you should do actually with this is the you know your opensource.com where mm-hmm. where you haven't announced to the world, by the way, that you and BEZ and Plateau have put your AUK series up there as a downloadable PDF for everybody, which I put into the developers channel in work for those poor people suffering from AUK fatigue. So, and that's
yes.
excellent, mm-hmm. Excellent shout out to everybody for doing that. That was an excellent move, and congrats on that. And congrats to BEZ and Plateau as well.
Yes, it seems to be really popular, according to the message I got from Plateau just a day or so ago. It's, mm-hmm. it's number three in the download charts for the current month, I think. September, I'm not sure. Anyway, yeah. it's pretty popular. So that's, yeah, some excellent work all around.
And this is something that I really think Ohuka could have done for his LibreOffice series and might consider doing mm-hmm. for the GIMP one.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
Yeah.
It would be great. It would be a great place to go and read these things. Although Ohuka's own website contains a really good version of these shows. That's where yep. most of his notes are. So you should follow the links there.
Exactly. And that's all under Creative Commons. So again, nudge, nudge, Plateau, wink, wink. So the following day we had How Do I Manage My Podcasts? And let me just give a spoiler here that I expected the word database to be included in the solution, and I was not disappointed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, databases are cool, you know. Uh-huh, it's like Fez's too as well. But, yeah. It's yeah, well, this is what I do. It seems to work.
It is. And Retro had a comment, Sansa MP3 player. Hi Dave. I have a Sansa MP3 player, Clip Sport and Clip Zip. They are awesome. Something like 48 gigs, play several hours if you treat them well and last several years. Mine is 6 years old. Og is not their strength, but they play most files. For this reason, I always subscribe to MP3. I also like at least basic ID3 tags. The album is an important tag, and only IDV3 works well on the Sansa firmware. Unfortunately, the zip at some day got stuck at refreshing your media. I read that you could open and flash Rockbox or try to access it via serial, but the housing is very tight, almost zero gap. I plan to listen to your Rockbox flash podcast.
I think there was a hint there. Yes, I replied, Rockbox and Sansa players. Hi, Rato. I found that if the players lock up in some way, a very long press on the on-off button can reset them. It's worth a try anyway. Installing Rockbox is not difficult. All you need to do is download the installer, and there's a link. Follow the instructions on the site. It's years since I've done it, but I remember it was very straightforward at the time. You don't need to dismantle the player in any way. I found the original SanDisk software was very poor. But Rockbox, in fact, I wrote to them and said, your software is junk. not quite like that, but why doesn't it sort properly? Why can't you do that? They said, oh, yes, it doesn't do that, yeah. Sort of effectively go away sort of message. Mm-hmm. It's never any point in writing to these people, but I had to mm-hmm. do it anyway. But yeah, I said the software mm-hmm. is very poor, but Rockbox has provided all the features I need for many years.
two comments on that. One, I don't know if the sport and the clip zip are. I don't know if it is possible to put Rockbox on them.
Clip zip, yes. I have one here, and it's got Rockbox on. I'm not so sure about the some of the later ones. Not so sure about. I think not.
Okay. And the second thing is, you still have the original firmware on there that you can get to. So it's not an all-in-one deal. And about the refreshing media thing, I found that even if the long press doesn't work, and you plug in you charge it or you discharge it fully, then it will eventually come back and reset itself.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've also experienced that. Yeah, sometimes it's... the firmware's got itself in a loop of some sort, and sometimes just plugging something into it will wake it up. Or, as you say, you let it die by running to the battery's flat and then not charging. Yeah. Yeah, good. Excellent.
Kevin O'Brien says, my Rockbox Sansa experience. My favorite combo was a Sansa clip plus with Rockbox. Sadly, SanDisk stopped making them. Yes, agreed. And they're now as expensive as a cheap Android phone. So that's why I switched to cheap Android phones.
Yes, yes. I said in reply to that, no more Sansa Clip Plus. Hiya, Hooker. Yes, I was very sad to see the trend away from SanDisk Sansa players that could run Rockbox and then their disappearance. I did manage to buy some new refurbished and second-hand players before prices became ridiculous and have survived on them for many years. When they have all stopped working, I don't know what I'll do.
Okay. Introduction to Ansible. Klaatu yet again up markets my introduction to Ansible episode, but fine, I'm not bitter. And it's so annoying that the episode is so good. Fine, Klaatu. Be a professional podcaster, see if I care. Yes. Not really a lot I can add to that, but if you are wondering what Ansible is, give the show a listen. It will not waste your time. That's all I'll say.
No, it's very good. The query I'd have would be, he was talking about writing YAML and how many spaces to put in various points.
Mm-hmm.
And that is definitely an issue. You can easily fall over that. But I use... obviously, I use Vim because I've talked about it so many times. But I would think many other editors will know the formatting of YAML and will provide the indentation for you. Just hit the tab key or some equivalent to get the right indentation. So, you know, I've never had any particular problems with YAML formatting.
But yeah, I just think they for some people, the tabs is a thing in their head. Kate has little lines, like grey lines, that tells you where the tabs are. But sometimes the tabs do get a little bit ridiculous with YAML. I don't like YAML at all as a formatting. I don't see any of the advantages and see nothing but disadvantages in using it.
Yes, I know. I think I might have said this before, but I did write several tools for my team to help them to manage Mailman mailing lists. We ran the Mailman service for university. And in order to do things, you needed to put stuff into a YAML file. they were constantly getting it wrong because of the indentation thing. I came to regret using YAML for this purpose. But at that particular time, there weren't many other choices. It was going to be XML or something else, which would have been even more unpleasant for them, I think.
Yeah,
The other thing is, I just write in a note to myself here, really, but I'll share it. I wrote, why do I accept YAML with all this weird indentation, but hate Python's indentation so much? There's something wrong in my brain that lets me accept one and not the other.
Yep.
I don't understand it, but it's real, and it's. I really dislike Python for doing that.
Anywho, the following day, Road to Communism and Freedom. Our heroes discuss their legacy and how they arrived at open source software and communism, and slightly better audio in this one, which is always good.
got better towards the end, I thought, to further down the thing. Whether they'd read some of the comments and were boosting things, I don't know. But it was quite interesting. Chris's PhD sounds quite interesting, if you like that sort of thing. But, good.
Okay, following day, I'm learning Spanish, how I'm using a variety of tools to learn Spanish. And Ahuka, good, solid episode with lots of links. And I did the same, learning Dutch, good.
Yeah, it was very cool. I hadn't quite appreciated the difference between Spanish and Latin American Spanish. I'd love to know more about that. Not that Hooker should tell me, but just find out a little bit more about it. It's a bit like, presumably, a bit like British English and American English.
Yeah. And the following day was the second part of that show. And then we moved on to Tlatu's second part of the Ansible to Mirror Git repo, which was quite interesting.
Yes.
And also quite useful.
Yes. I was listening to it without fully absorbing the details of it, obviously, but definitely something I want to get into. I want to learn to do. I really need to get into Ansible, and that sounds like a good reason for doing so.
Okay, and no comments on these episodes. So, a ramble with the Pentland Squires. Are you officially Squires, Dave? Are you? Are you attempting to climb up the social ladder there?
Oh, absolutely.
Using titles that you're not entitled to.
I think it just means a landowner, actually, and I certainly Squire. Own some land. It's a little teeny bit, but I think that's its traditional meaning. But Pentland Squire is also a type of potato. So
it's a knight's apprentice, Dave.
But later,
a village leader or lord of the manor might be called squire. Later time, the term members of the landed gentry. With contemporary American usage, squire is a title given to justices of the peace or similar local dignitaries.
It's when I grew up in sort of the outskirts of London, it was quite common for people to say, "Hello, squire, are you all right?" So I've obviously been a squire ever since I was six.
Yeah, you've been knighted by the Londoners. Fine.
Yeah. But it was a Aaron potato says, illusion anyway. It was a very, very, very feeble joke.
Oh, God, I need a beer, Dave. I need a beer. Anywho, I'll do the two comments and then you can do your reply. How about that?
Okay.
Aaron says, nice conversation. Thanks for sharing it. I've only recently... Aaron, our now we know of listener who has as yet not submitted a show. Nice conversation. Thanks for sharing it. I have only recently discovered HPR. I'm enjoying the various topics and hosts. Thanks for a great resource. And you know what would make it even better, Aaron, is if you recorded a show and told us about yourself, where you're from, what made you listen to HPR in the first place. Zenfloater2 says, squirrels love local chit-chat. I'm sure they do. I especially enjoy local chit-chat conversations. I really should do more shows. There really should be more shows like these. Yeah, couldn't agree more.
So I said, thanks for the feedback. Aaron, Zenfloater2, glad you're enjoying HPR and our chit-chat shows. They're quite fun to do, and we'll probably make more when we can.
Yeah, excellent. The following day, Norst had FreeBSD jails and IO cage, which led to FreeBSD jails, by the way, is kind of the forerunner to Docker images, I guess, or allows users to run multiple isolated instances of FreeBSD on a single server. And IO cage simplifies the management of FreeBSD jails. And the comments were, how would I do that? 0xf10e. Is the E superfluous?
We've always puzzled over that particular handle.
Yes. I would love that to be, or it should be that, like, should I be reading that like Oxford? Oxflui? Oxflui?
Probably
we're doing
not.
A show. Not the first time we've asked this either, if I recall, Dave.
Yeah, I believe so too, yes.
Okay, shall I do this one?
Oh, okay, if you want, yeah.
Why an additional disk Z pool? Hi, Norris. Why do you recommend the second disk with the new pool to use for IO cage? Using IO cage on the host root FS pool works just fine. If I had a spare disk or even a cheap storage for a VPS, I would rather use it to mirror my system, including the IO cage dataset. Regards, 0xf10e.
Oxford. To which Norris replies, second disk for IO cage. A second disk is not an absolute requirement if you are already using ZFS on root. I made the recommendation for a second disk because some VPS providers still default to UFS for the root partition. Thanks to 0xf10e for the feedback.
Yes, interesting. More ZFS shows would be appreciated as well, by the by. More BSD shows in general, since BSD Talk stopped. Mm-hmm. And Paul Quirk did it again, a collection of audio for our listening pleasure, again from opennews.org. Beethoven, Chopin, and more Beethoven.
Yes, it was nice. It was really good. I don't listen to that sort of music much these days. I don't really know why. So it really got me interested in getting back into more of this sort of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I was looking for zone music, and then classical is excellent. Get in the zone music, just as by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do have some in my music folder, bought off Magnatune or whatever, or mm-hmm. copied off CDs from long ago. But I just got out of the habit of listening to that type of thing. I did start using Spotify. My son's got a Spotify account, which he let me use, but not keen on Spotify because it just keeps serving you up with stuff a bit like what you've just listened to. And you can't actually listen to an entire piece of music very easily, you know, a whole chunk of classical music in one go. Seems to.
Yeah, it seems it's a replacement for a radio station, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, I don't like it because I can't right-click and go, here, listen to this, and know that I'm not tying somebody into somebody who can't financially afford it, or that later on when somebody can financially afford it, later on won't be able to financially afford it. I just really like the ease of which you can point somebody to some Creative Commons music and just go, here it is. You can download it, and it's yours.
Yep. You know, yep.
And
agree,
if you want to pay, good and well. And then the quality of music in that whole Creative Commons area is, there was a time when it was a bit dodgy, but now the quality of music is equal, or in some cases better, than mainstream.
Yes.
So.
Yes. There's some really excellent stuff. I listened to the Bugcast for some of their stuff, and there's some really wonderful stuff on there. So yeah, just to prove.
Although there was one show of six shows ago where every single song was terrible. song after another. But that was entirely my preference. My preferences. And then occasionally you get one where it's excellent song after excellent song after excellent song. But I'm sure Dave and Caroline consider all their songs to be excellent. So that's good. They love them all the same. Color tools. Changing color and brightness in your image. The GIMP series. And again, as Dave said earlier, more substantial show notes are available on Ahuka's website.
Yeah, this is great. I enjoyed this. I I keep thinking, oh, I really must go and look in more detail at this. I do use GIMP from time to time, and just in a very superficial way. This would be good to be able to be more adept at its use based on some of the information here.
And as with the LibreOffice episodes, I don't think there's anything I don't think he's got to a level yet where he's talking about stuff that I wasn't aware of in the GIMP because I've been using it for a while. But with LibreOffice episodes, he got to a point where he was introducing topics where I was like, oh, all right, okay. And then 2 years later, I came across the kids asked me to do something, and then I at least know that LibreOffice supports it. So, you know, you're at an advantage right there. And then it's a matter of finding out which show that he was talking about that particular topic. Track down his website notes, and then you're good to go. Yep. You look like the hero. Speaking of heroes, Lost in Bronx, taking one for the team. Soylent, a week in Soylent. Lost in Bronx tries eating nothing but Soylent, so you don't have to. Excellent. What do you think of this?
This is great. This is great. I was listening to this and just so making a few notes about it. And my first thing was to say, but why? Why eat Soylent at all? My daughter was in the room. She said, what are you doing, Dad? And I said, I'm listening to this. And so she got really interested in the whole subject, being a recent biology graduate and stuff. And the fact that Lost in Bronx had diarrhea as a consequence of eating it, she said, oh, that's because his gut flora must have hated it. So eating something like that will mess up, you know, after you've been eating a particular range of foods, will cause your gut flora to have a really bad time, you know? So
but then sometimes if your gut flora adapts to the food you're eating, so if you're eating, you know, basically if you have a bad diet, you're eating and you want to switch to a different type of diet, switching to Soylent might be, switching to healthier stuff, you'll run into the same issues that your gut flora has to adapt, and it takes a while.
I think it's part of that thing. If you ever go abroad to somewhere where the food is very different, there's a sort of seasoning, so-called seasoning time, when you're getting used to the local food, maybe the different bacterial flora that you're taking in and stuff like that that the locals don't notice, and then you get stabilizes, then you go back home and you go through the same process again. And that's all about, you know, a seasoning thing, and also gut flora just being messed around somewhat. So it's a pretty sensitive thing, I think, that that's only recently become understood a bit more. But yeah,
I heard some paper where it has the ability to change pathways in your brain, to send signals to your brain, your good flora. Really? Yes. You have no clue what's going on in the world, Dave. No clue whatsoever.
I've heard a few discussions about this in the context of your when bacteria in your gut produce particular hormones in some cases, then the pathway from the lining of your gut to the vagus nerve, which is the one that looks after the whole digestive system, to your brain is actually pretty short. So, you know, things like whether you're depressed or not and those sorts of things can be controlled by diet and bacteria. It's the two, I think.
Strange.
There's a lot of stuff there that's going to take many years to understand completely, but starting to happen.
And anybody just on this topic who's shouting down their microphone at us, shouting down their audio player at us, press record on that device and send in your show.
I'm sure there are people who know more about this stuff than I do, at least.
Please do.
Yeah, it would be fascinating to hear more about it. But I don't, just going back to the Soylent, I don't quite see the point of it. unless you hate cooking hate eating so much.
Was a programmer, and he said he just didn't like to come out of the zone and was thinking, what if I just bypass the whole eating thing, and for emergency situations it would be cheaper as well just to eat rather than having to eat all this food, just buy the cheaper compounds, and then it will be a cheaper way to live.
Yeah, I know that sort of argument's been common in science fiction in my time of reading that sort of stuff. You know, the ideal future is that we don't eat food anymore, we just have a pill and everything is fine. But look where that sort of thinking has got us right now, you know.
Well, this is why the International Space Station, they send up meals, because they originally started with that sort of rehydrated, you have to rehydrate the meals, but yeah, they try to make things tasty and stuff, because it is fundamental thing people need.
Yes.
Says he, bluffing his way. Okay, second part of your chat with Mr. X was the following day. More episodes on 3D printing would be appreciated. I still haven't got my PinePhone. It was supposed to be here in August. I must chase them about that.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
It says it's in a warehouse in the UK somewhere, but yeah.
Yes, it's an interesting subject potentially, so I'm intrigued to hear more about that personally.
Mozilla Wadaba. Nope, the last one was mine, managing your Raspberry Pi fleet with Ansible, which was a collaboration with opensource.com. And that was the, Plateau just sent me, it was the second most popular article this month, which is kind of nice.
Well, I thought it was brilliant, actually. I just listened to it today because it takes me a while to catch up with everything. It's nice to be able to read the text, the content as you're going. And yeah. I thought it was very, very helpful and quite a revelation in terms of what you can do with Ansible. It's really full of stuff that I want to get into.
Yeah, there really is, if you're doing anything over and over again, if you're talking about, blah, 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 blah. Okay. No, I'm not going to edit that out because I'm not a professional podcaster, especially after 15 years. I rebuild all these pies so often, it's just a lifesaver, because you have a little script and you don't even need to. You can just say, I want this Pi to do this thing, to reboot this Pi or any other machine. It's just, rather than having to traipse around finding all of them, I can just run one script and it updates all the Pis, all the laptops, all the desktops, everything in the house, and then we're done. It's awesome.
Well, quite, yeah. I had the experience in the past couple of days of my magic mirror monitor thingy coming up and saying that it needed an update. So I went to manually update it, you know, the Git pull and a NPM install and stuff. And it blew up, and it took me ages I think I missed a step. I think, you know, I think that was possibly a prime example of the human going in and doing stuff, not being fully aware of what they're doing. And if it had been automated in some form, a good chance you'd come out the other end to it with everything good, you know. So it was particularly appropriate to be listening to stuff about Ansible, thinking, yeah, well, I should really be using that instead in some form or other.
Yeah, it just simplifies things, because even if you can take the SD card and just blow it away and then put another one in. Today I've been doing this so often, actually, that I'm thinking of setting up an Ansible script that if it sees this MAC address, that it will assign the IP address that I have in my host file to it in an Ansible script. So generate the Ansible script on the fly to assign the IP addresses. Why not use DHCP on the server, cause, or on the router? Because I don't like that. That's not backupable. And routers, Wi-Fi routers that you get tend to be proprietary in nature.
Oh, sure. Yeah, so all of your machines have fixed IPs, yeah?
Yeah,
me too. Which makes me feel a lot more comfortable. Mm. But I know what a thing is when I go and look at IPs floating about and stuff.
Yeah,
just seems to make a lot more sense.
So that was that for the shows, Dave.
It is, yeah. Yep. So in terms of comments, we only have one that we didn't cover, and it was your comment that you typed while we were recording the last show, I think.
So we actually have covered it, Dave.
You said what you'd sent, so yeah. That was to operator show 3146. And you actually said that, didn't you? Yeah, I do. Yeah. So there's nothing really else to say about the comments.
So in the mailing list, HPR, you are all doing weird things, which is essentially if you put parameters at the end, like Facebook click equals blah, then the HPR website doesn't accept that. This led to a thread on HPR where I basically explained Facebook is adding parameters to someone else's website URL. Please ask Facebook not to send additional query parameters. All right, that's a bit smarmy. Fine. But I've taken the approach with the website that I know what it's supposed to accept, so nobody else should be sending me anything else other than what I'm supposed to accept. But apparently it's a thing now that Facebook and Google and things like Slack add their own query parameters to track you, which I believe bypasses bypasses people's privacy. And I was surprised that more people weren't commenting on that. People seemed happy enough that I remove it. So we now support this feature, even though it goes against my personal feelings on the matter. I think it's bad practice to be tracking people and tracking people without their consent. We now parse them off, and in future this won't be an issue because it'll be a flat hitch. It won't be PHP site anyway, so you can send whatever you want. But that's pretty much the discussion. But there was a time here in HPR, Dave, that people would have objected to that change.
Well, so I'm wondering,
is the listenership changing or what?
People punch drunk from all the crap that's ongoing all the time. To me this is a complete obscenity. It annoys me intensely. But and I would just drop the whole bloody thing and not respond to it. But it's a little bit extreme. I agree. But Facebook is one of the most evil companies in the world, and it's destroying many countries' democracy. It's part of what is undermining democracy across the world and causing all these obscene dictator fascists to come into being. So
the views of Dave Morris do not necessarily reflect those of HPR in general. Its affiliates are as a sub-program.
I have fairly strong feelings about this. You might have gathered. Which I don't normally voice, but yeah. It is, I mean, it's that sort of, and it's not only that they're facilitating these sorts of movements and getting involved in politics at levels which are very, very evil, but they're just bloody monitoring us to in order to make money from us, and that disgusts me beyond belief.
Yeah, but that's what you're getting, Dave. You're, a few years ago, people were paying, 5 cents or something for every SMS message they sent. Now we're getting that for free. So where is the money? Unless you're paying for something, somebody's making a buck mm-hmm. off it, and they're making mm-hmm. a buck off that. So that, to me, is entirely reasonable. There are some of the things that Facebook are doing that I consider that fine. You know, that is what they're doing. But when it's this one particularly, I find a bit egregious, because if you're on the Facebook site and you paste in the link, then I, as somebody who has no relationship with you whatsoever, now has a means to track you on a completely independent site, and GDPR wise, the privacy law, I have no relationship with you. I have no reason to be collecting this information, and yet I do have this information, and I can pass it back to whoever I like, and they can pass it back to whoever they like, and now we can track this person. That seems rather egregious to me, just on the whole. And also the fact that you have a website and you're dictating what somebody else's website now needs. Somebody else's website is now no longer going to work because of a decision you have taken. But that's okay, because the majority of people are using that. That doesn't sit well with me.
No, I mean, neither.
Should we read the comments or what?
It's quite a lot.
Anyway, at the end of the day, I caved, and we support this. Well, insofar as we don't log it, we just get rid of it on ingress. But I think it's a sad day.
We ignore it effectively, don't we? It's being filtered out. But the alternative being to block it. So I guess it's one of those be a little bit less than extreme in your response to these things.
Well, there's a reason I'm extreme, is because we are under attack constantly. And I know Cedric put in one of his comments that if I'm checking this and if I'm checking something else, then we should be okay. But the fact of the matter is, I already know at the end of my driveway if somebody is a scumbag. So why should I let them come the whole way up to my front door to be knocking on all my doors in my house to see can they get in, if I can stop them on the driveway?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Does it make sense? You know, I see a scumbag coming in and you go, oh, that's fine, come on in. And then they come up to your front door and they go, oh, I've got this thingy here. I've got this thing and this is allowed. So let me in the front door. Oh, sure, that's grand. Come on in. Oh, what are you doing there? Oh, I'm breaking the windows and stealing all your stuff. Sure, that's grand. Because you've got this ticket that lets you in. No, I know you've been trying to break into my house from the driveway. So I'm keeping you down there. And worse than that, I'm going to delay every request you make so that everybody else gets in before you, because I know you're hostile.
Yep.
But I'm not the only one in that. There are several other websites out there that do implement this. And for the amount of traffic that we get from Facebook anyway, because, you know, a few hundred links in all that time, in the 15 years that we were here. But fine. Fair enough. It is what it is. It's a done deal.
It's a compromise, and sometimes compromises are necessary, I guess. But
it was discussed on the mailing list. The agreement on the mailing list was that we need to support it, and we now support it. I don't have to like what I have to implement, but yeah, that is what we've done. This is HPR at work. But I can bitch about it, Dave. I can.
Oh, yeah. Please do.
Anywho, the full discussion on that is actually quite interesting. And have a read of it. RPG Club. Oh, this is an interesting one. So, you know, the book club. Klaatu wants to do a similar thing with RPG Club, which would be, too long, didn't read, where is it? Subscribe to my gaming mailing list to get updates on when I'm going to hold an online RPG session that you can join. And basically the games they're going to try is Shadowrun, Swords and Sorcery, Pathfinder 1, 2, Starfinder, Castles and Crusades, Dead Earth, Mystic D6, Open D6, Mythos and Madness, D&D 2, Dragon Lace specifically, D&D 5, Dungeon Raiders, Murder Hobos, Iron Swords, D4 Core, to name but a few. And then they're going to basically play that for a month and then do a, at the end of each month, I'd like to record an episode reviewing the game system we just played. Yes, and it's inspired by the book club.
Sounds great.
My son has been banned from that, much to his... Well, he said himself he would love to do it, but he doesn't have the time at school.
Yeah. So, there is that.
And don't know to tell you, during the summer, Klaatu put on a special game for my kids, basically.
Yes, you did mention something about your son being particularly keen on it.
Yeah, he's on the Wednesday, Thursday game, but Klaatu also put on a game for him and my daughters and one of their friends, and it was the nicest thing ever. He was they all got into it, and a really, really, really nice guy is Klaatu, for those who didn't know.
That's wonderful. Yeah, absolutely.
And then there was the community news stuff. Anything else that we missed?
We've had a few tags and thingies.
Cool.
Scroll. Yes, we had...
Good old Wendigo
contributed 7 updates. So he's just going through old shows when the mood takes him, I think. And if he spots stuff without tags and summaries, then he sends them in, which is absolutely
excellent. Fantastic.
Yeah, I know. I always drop them a quick note by email to say, oh, thanks very much. They've been added, blah, blah, blah. We have a little chat about all sorts of things. But it's great. I was going to do some myself, but I just not had a chance to get to anything. But we're gradually moving forward.
Yeah. Should actually have a feed, Dave, of, says he, making work for himself, a feed of shows that don't have tags. That should be easy enough to do.
But it wouldn't be that hard, would it? I mean, the page that gives you the list of... I mean, the idea was that there would be a thing you could go to in terms of a web page and say, oh, that looks interesting, I'll listen to that, and then send in some tags. That was the intention.
We could do that. All right. Yeah. That said, remember last month I was going to do something, and then that led to me trying to get a Pi going, and then that led to me... that whole chain of events, of knock-on events, leading to knock-on events, are still not finished.
Yes. I have a number of projects here which have been started, and then other things have distracted me or been asked to do something else. I had a conversation with my son this past week where I was saying, oh yeah, I've been doing some work in that area, and he said, oh, that sounds interesting, can I see? And I suddenly realized that it's in one of the stack of boxes that I've got available here. I don't even know which one it was in order to show him what an ESP32 looked like or whatever. I think I have a problem here.
Yeah.
I'm taking on things that I can't finish, which is, finish stuff before taking on anything else.
You need a database, Dave, to keep this all under control.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a project. Oh, yeah, I must definitely do that. Yes.
Stop it. Where are we going? Anything else coming up? Oh, yeah, FOSDEM is online this year. Did I mention that? Did we mention
you,
that last
You said it to me, yeah, but we didn't. Yeah. I don't think we mentioned it on here. Not that I recall, anyway. So that would be very good. When's it going to be? It's going to be late January, February again,
something like
it?
That. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So no change for you. It'll be the same as last year.
I'll not be going, and I'll be looking at it from a distance.
Yeah, screw. Yeah. Well, you got good to attend more episodes than we did, or more talks than we did.
Yeah, it's good. I enjoyed it.
Right, Dave. That was a very political show, I must say. Now, strong views held. If we don't get any comments from this one, I would be hugely surprised.
Yeah. Well,
disappointed.
We tried. We must try and script it better next time.
Yeah, I thought comments. I thought you really, really put that whole Facebook in there quite well. You did that quite well. Yeah. And I know you're on Facebook the whole time.
Yes. You can contact me on Facebook at ...
My tracking ID is 402.
Yes.
Did you ever see that? I think it's a Belgium ad where somebody goes into the bakery and then all go people come up to him and put post-it notes on. The baker asks him for his name and asks people for their name and address and contact information, male or female. Just ask them to tick the terms and service.
Wow. No, that sounds horrific.
It was a joke on the whole, you know, online purchasing tracking thing. It's quite funny.
Well, there was a time there was they've more or less disappeared now, but the Radio Shack Tandy company that's I don't know, still big in the States, does it still exist in the States?
No, I think they've folded.
They've gone completely. But there were a number of shops in the UK. There was one in Edinburgh, and it was quite a reasonable source for electronics bits. I remember going in there when they had adopted a new scheme that if you ever bought anything, they wanted you to fill in your name, your address, and all sorts of other stuff. And I was Michel Souris for years and years. Oh, thank you, Mr. Souris. And that just people just did that, and that was part of the rot setting in, I think. But
I think it's good actually that you hold GDPR now, because here you go, why do you need that information? Yeah, well, we need that information. No, you don't. You don't need it for the direct processing of this task. You only need the basic information, and you should not be collecting anymore because it's a law in every country in the Europe. Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm-hmm. But soon you'll be free from all that, Dave. Only what? Two more months.
Oh, yes. When Brexit's
cast off
here,
those shackles.
Won't it be wonderful? Yes, yes, yes. We'll all be able to. We'll be dancing in the street and everything. Yeah. It'll be wonderful. Can't wait. Right. That's enough. That's enough politics.
I'm going to post the show and I'll give you an update. Tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of
Hacker
Public
Radio.
Dun, dun, dun. Send in your Halloween shows, by the way, people. If you are, we are kind of low on shows, so if you're doing anything for Halloween anyway, send in your shows. Send in your shows how you're dealing with lockdown. We're back in super lockdown mode here, ish, almost nearly stay at home, maybe. Sort of indecisive Dutch government sort of lockdown. Is it a lockdown? Is it not? Who can tell?
Yes. Scotland was doing quite well as far as COVID-19 cases were concerned, but in the first round, but second round, wow, it's got really bad. Glasgow's astonishingly bad. So, it's locking down right, left and centre here.
We're breaking records every day, new virus hitting. And we appear to be the only country in the world who doesn't think that wearing face masks is a good thing.
So weird. I know it's why this would be a controversial thing, I don't know. But
saying the science isn't there to support it, but I've read articles myself which says it does, but they're saying that for every 200,000 people wearing a face mask, the number of people who gets contaminated is down by one. But that doesn't seem to rhyme with the other data that I've, or the other studies that I've seen. Really weird.
But it is, as you say, that there's not been any really good studies. I've got another show coming out next month, where I chatted with Andrew Conway, McNallow, where we got onto this subject and
okay, I'll listen to that.
So yeah, it's
the
historians are going to have such fun digging through this nonsense.
Yeah, exactly. And ours will be the only record because we're in archive.org, and that will survive. Hello, my alien brothers. All right. And I haven't had anything to drink. I think it's time I do.
Yes,
talk to you later, Dave.
Same here. Okay, see you later. Ta-da.
I'll pause the show. Oh, and by the way, I got the hard disk for it. Whoops. I got... Why is an external hard disk more expensive than an internal hard disk? It's half the price. And I've got an adapter for the internal hard disk, which is coming from somewhere. So it's half the price for internal hard disk with an adapter. So I'll see what the benefits are. Well, that is going on to the Pi 4, which is going on my rack of Pis. Maybe I'll do a show on that. And that's where I want to move Marvin, who does the transcoding of the shows. Mm-hmm. Oh, and people listening. Yes, I know we did the traditional sing out, so this is extra material at the end. I had an idea that we could check into Git a SQL file with all the information about the shows, check it out, populate an SQLite database, go through all the processing of posting to shows, adding a new show from a JSON file, posting it into the SQLite database, push that back to Git, and then push that out to the internet so that the whole HPR thing is replicated in Git. Is that a sane concept? Write in. Better yet, record a show and send that in. More information available on the mailing list if you want it. Uh-huh. If you ask for it, actually. Okay, that's it. Tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of Happy Barbie Radio. We've already done that. Talk to you later, Dater. Leave Dater. Okay, bye-bye. I'm just going to stop now. Bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.